להגיד בבוקר חסדך. Actually, for us here in Jerusalem, it's morning. For you, it's Monsi Shabbos, night time. So for us, really, it's to say the grace of God and to speak about the Hashgacha that guided me back to be to raise a Jewish family here in Jerusalem with 7 kids in the Talmud Torah, and to be able to really study Torah and to be abounded with the truth, with the real truth, after such a journey being separated for many, many years from my own identity. But I'm going back to the story. When Steve got back to Israel, then I was invited to the church to speak. I didn't come no more to the church, but I was invited by Steve to come to the church and to give a lecture on Sunday, because I basically he didn't really want to go on and to follow his own father. He told me that he have a conflict. He personally told me, I do have a conflict just like you. And I realized that despite the fact that I was raised in a Christian family, that Judaism probably is the right way. And one day I will have enough courage to convert. But for the time being, I cannot give up pork. I cannot give up my habits. You know, I was born and raised Christian. My father was a pastor, and so his mother was expecting him to follow his father and to go on and to minister at the church. But he didn't really want to. He realized, just like me, that there is many, many, many conflicts. And he took me aside and he told me, one day I will become a Jew. What are you doing here? How did you left the truth behind you? And despite that wake up call of him telling me that he really doesn't understand what I'm doing in the States and why I'm not going back to Jerusalem to live my own life as a Jew, he was the one that arranging the schedule of the church. And on every Sunday, instead of standing before the church, somebody else used to stand before, because he had a plan of how to slowly and surely leave the position and maybe allowing somebody else to take over, because he had a different plan altogether for his own life. And one day I was invited to the church to stand before the church and to explain what's the tefillin is all about, what's those weird horns of the Jews on the we put. And I told of course they knew that what's the tefillin is all about, but they want me to stand and explain what's bar mitzvah and what's the Jew tradition about the bar mitzvah and tefillin is all about, and what do I know about tefillin. So I made a phone call to speak with my mother, maybe to ask a tefillin, because I left my tefillin many years ago in Israel, in my family, my parents' house. My mother didn't want to speak with me. She was holding the phone, listening to me calling her to respond, but she didn't want to answer. She already well understood that I converted, and she was already a Haredic woman. I didn't know how much suffer I was causing her, because only when I made a tshuva, and many years after, you know, getting married, then my wife told me that my mother knew everything, and she She was crying and praying the Tehillim, and every night she was praying, fasting with her other sisters every week, once a week, or sometimes once a month, going to the grave of my father, lighting a candle and praying over me. And she knew that she's in a big trouble, and me in a big trouble, and praying over me to save my soul. And basically, she when she was able to find out, then she found out probably through people that came from the States to Israel telling her what I'm doing. She didn't want to speak with me, and I felt very unwanted. And I made a phone call to my brother-in-law telling him, I know that my family knows everything by now, but I'm asking you to send me a tefillin. He was very excited. Tefillin? You want to put a tefillin? Okay, I'm sending you a tefillin. I'm going to ship it as soon as possible. A very, very, very expensive tefillin. And so he sent me a tefillin, very excited. We're sure that I'm about to put a tefillin on a daily basis, but actually I needed it only to stand before the church once and to explain what tefillin is all about, because I was asked by the church. So I stood. I was first thinking, I had enough time. I had procrastinated the lecture till I got the tefillin from Israel. But then I was thinking to myself, what exactly am I telling to Gentile people about tefillin? What, they're square in shape, that they're black in color? What can I say, that I'm wrapping it around my left hand? It's not exactly exciting. It doesn't seem so. I thought to myself, I'm not supposed to be aligned with the truth. I can be creative and think of my own, and maybe try to give a good show. I don't really care much about the truth anyways, so why shouldn't I try to please the people and have a nice show, showing it to fill in while I'm putting it before the church? So, to tell you the truth, it was actually thinking to myself, what do I know about the fill in? Then I realized that I don't really know much. I can't really tell other people. What can I say? What it's been written inside? What's written inside? I mean, okay, so I'll say in one word, I have 16 minutes to speak before the church. How interested could such a lecturer be? So I realized that when I was in the military in Israel, I was in the beginning, I was in Golani unit, and I became a paramedic. And while I was given a lecture by the officer telling us how to do a CPR, I realized that actually it's really equal to the process of putting a tefillin. The CPR, actually, it's a process that very similar to putting a tefillin. And that's what I told before the church. You know, I told them, you know, I'm a Jew. And of course, I told them that I'm a Jew that converted to Christianity. I'm just going to represent a tefillin. And I'm going to put the tefillin and show them how it looks like. But first, we start with the talit. We start with the talit. And I was going over my childhood memory and trying to trying to see what what do I know and how can I represent it. And I thought to myself, okay, then I'm just gonna say the lecture of the officer in the Israeli military in that same process and show that it's a CPR process, like making every morning we're getting a new life, and we're saying Modeani Lefanecha Melech Chai VeKayam. So we're saying thank you God for giving us a new life this morning, and every morning. So I took the talit, and I opened it up, and I was holding it with my two hands and showing the church the talit, and I was saying, you know, that the first thing in the CPR, you're checking first the consciousness, and then if a person is not in a conscious, then you check his breathing system. Then here is a talit, and I'm putting it on my back, and then I'm putting the edge of the talit on my one shoulder, over my left side of the body, and the other one on the right side of the body, just against my lungs system. That's the breathing system. Me'arba kanfot ha'aretz, bo'i ruach ufchi ba'arugim. In Yechezkel, from four ages of the earth, come the wind of God to and to breathe the death, and to, okay, that's Chazon Yechezkel about the resurrection in the end of time, and God showing Yechezkel in the valley of bones. He was showing him the bones of Israel, the dry bones of Israel, and he was telling him, "Atichyena atzamotei v'shotele," are those bones will live? And he told him, "I don't know." The prophet responded, "I don't know." And then he saw the process of resurrection, and he saw the wind coming from four ways, from four sides, and then breathing the death, and how they're standing and starting to live. So basically I was telling to the church that putting a talit, it's just like a breathing system, because we put it against our lungs. We have two lungs on the left side and the right side, and then we fold the talit right on them. And okay, so we started with a breathing system, and then we have to check whether we have a heartbeat or not. In our neck, we search for the heartbeat, and because we have to see whether the blood are coming to the mind, to the brain or not. Then if we don't have a heartbeat in a carotid, then we don't have a heartbeat. So then we have to start with the process of pressing the chest and trying to make the heart work again. So against such a process, after dealing with the breathing system, we have to deal with the heart, with the blood system, but the central place of the blood system, basically, it's the heart, making him work again. So I have to press against the chest and to give some 15 pressures. So basically, we as a Jew, also putting a tefillin on the left arm, and turning the head of the tefillin against our heart, And it's been written inside, Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, meaning love your God with all your heart, with all your... So it's just remind us the blood system, the heart system, the tefillin on our hand, on the left hand side, because the heart have a turn, a slight turn to the left, putting a tefillin on the left arm and turning the head of the tefillin toward the heart and understanding what's being written inside, meaning working on the heart system at the right time of the CPR, right after the lung system. By saying Mode Ani, we are just like checking us consciousness. It's just, okay, thank you God that I'm awake, that I'm alive, that I'm aware, that I... It's checking the... And that's the process, Mode Ani. And then you put, afterward, after the blessing of the Shachrit, you put the Talit, and taking care of the breathing system, and then taking care of the blood system. But then, I was putting it to feeling while I was explaining it. And not even having a slight intention to make the mitzvah. I was in the church, standing there, and not considering really the word of God, but trying to please Gentile people that was listening. And saying, you know, as a paramedic, I cannot decide if he's a dead person or not. The doctor is supposed to make the decision. And in the field, you have few signs by looking in his eyes and seeing whether you have a brainwave or not. Or in the hospital, whether the patient have a brainwave or not. Basically, by the lung doesn't by the patient doesn't breathe or doesn't have a heartbeat, it doesn't mean that he's a dead person. That can be a near death experience, or like we call, okay, it can be, it's a near death, but it's not a death. That is not a dead person, because maybe you have a brain wave. So how we afterward we have to go further and put a tefillin on our hand, or on our head. So we put a tefillin between our eyes, on our head, on a certain place, the place where a baby have it open, the bones, the scale of the head of the baby is being open right there, and slowly, after a few months, getting it become close and close more and more, till we have it complete. But still, that's the most open place in our scale, on our head. And then we put the tefillin right there. But we have to understand that there is a big similarity between the... In our head we have the big brain and the small brain, and the left side of each one of them control the right side of the body, and the right side of the brain control the left side of the body. And actually we have like four parts: the big brain, the small brain, the left side, the right side of each one of them, four parts. In the tefillin we have four spaces, and inside we have four parasha on the cloth. So, and basically when we search the mind, and we know, according to the research of the mind, we have four different kind of brain waves, just like the parasha, four parashiyot inside the tefillin. We have four rooms to put the parasha. So in the same way, we have it in our mind. It's a little room for each mind. It's just an equal thing, comparable in a comparable way. And then we have a kesher of a tefillin, a tie in the back against our geza moh, which is in our back, right in our neck, against our neck. And I was saying, while I was putting a tefillin, and I started to describe how the two wires that we have and we put in the front, one of them is supposed to reach the middle of the body and the other one all the way, and what's the purpose of it, and to try to describe a little more details about it. And when I finished and I was standing before the church, I got the church clapping and being impressed by despite the fact that I have an Israeli accent and I was not much fluent in Hebrew, but they were really trying hard to understand what I was saying. And they start to clap and got excited and start to shout hallelujah, hallelujah. And one of the old women in the church was sitting in the back of the church. She raised her hand and she asked me a few questions, and I couldn't really. I was trying to explain what I knew, and she asked me, are you dying every day and you wake up? So you're supposed to do CPR every morning. Why us as a Gentiles? We don't need it. So I told her what I thought that a rabbi will answer. And I little got into a trouble because it was my concept. And I told her, you know, a Jewish person have a spiritual part, just not exactly like you have, but you have a spiritual part, a soul, and he have a spiritual soul, but to be abounded with that spiritual part, just like you charge the telephone or telephone, then again they charge their spirit to be united with the soul, to be united with God by putting the tefillin. So it's a charge of empowering the soul every morning and having, just like a CPR, having more life, more spiritual life, and empowering the spiritual life. And by going to sleep, it's just like it's equal like dying. It's equal in a way. It's not the same, but it's something. And by waking up, it's just like raising erected from the death. So it's similar in a way. It's a portion of it. People started to clap again, and then she asked to come to the front and to stand by me, and she wanted to say something to the audience, to the church. So everybody was excited, and I don't know who that woman was. I didn't know her, but one of the pastors, Frank, he probably was. Was he Frank, or I don't know if it's, I don't recall whether it's Steve or Frank, one of them, he helped her to stand and to come to the front. She was a very old woman, And she stood before the audience. And then she stood by me. I was already with a tefillin on my head, on my hand, and a talit, and standing, and don't know exactly how things will go on from now. I was about to finish my lecture, and then she asked the church a permission, and she was shouting, "In thy name of the church, I'm asking a permission to hold the edge of the talit of Daniel." So I didn't know why not, so I gave her the edge of the talit, and she held the edge of the talit, she raised it above her head, and she started to shout hallelujah, and waving the edge of the talit and saying hallelujah, hallelujah. All the church started to shout hallelujah, to respond.